Welcome to Mealtime with Marjorie. We will be reading Philippians 1, but first we'll start with an introduction from the Simplified Living Bible text, and we'll read the backstory from Acts 16, verses 9 through 40. This will help to set the scene for Paul's letter to the Philippian church. Pull up a chair. Let's begin this delicious meal. Bon appetit, my friends. Thanks for joining me. An introduction to Philippians from the Simplified Living Bible text. Pretend that you are a prisoner. You can't go where you want. Someone guards you at all times. You have to wear chains on your wrists and ankles. Now pretend that you're writing a letter to a friend. What would you say? Would you complain about the chains and the guard? Paul was a prisoner in Rome. He wrote this letter to the church at Philippi. His letter is filled with joy. Why? How can he be so joyful when he's a prisoner? He is joyful because he is a Christian. Even though he is a prisoner, Jesus Christ fills him with joy. Paul wants others to have that same joy. The next time you start to complain, remember Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul started the church at Philippi. He was on his second missionary journey. One night he had a vision. In the vision, a man asked him to come to Europe. He asked Paul for help. Paul did go to Europe. The first stop was Philippi. He led Lydia, a seller of purple cloth, to Christ. He commanded a demon to come out of a little girl. For that he was thrown into prison. There he and Silas sang and prayed. He led the jailer and his family to Christ. These people became part of the Philippian church. Paul was writing to them. You'll want to read Acts 16, 9-40 again. You'll want to remember to be joyful. Acts 16, 9-40, verse 9. That night Paul had a vision. In his dream, he saw a man over in Macedonia, Greece. He was begging, "Come over here and help us." Well, that settled it. We will go on to Macedonia, for it seemed clear that God wanted us to preach the good news there. Lydia becomes a Christian, verse 11. We went aboard a boat at Troas and sailed straight across to Samothrace. On the next day, we sailed to Neapolis. Then finally, we reached Philippi. This is a Roman colony just inside the Macedonian border. We stayed there for several days. On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank. We had heard that some people met there for prayer. And we taught the scriptures to some women who came. One of them was Lydia, a saleswoman from Thyatira. She was a merchant of purple cloth. She was already a worshiper of God, and as she listened to us, the Lord opened her heart. She believed all that Paul was saying. She was baptized along with all her family, and she asked us to be her guests. "If you agree that I am faithful to the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my home." And she urged us until we did. One day we went down to the place of prayer beside the river. On our way, we met a slave girl who was controlled by a demon. She was a fortune teller and earned much money for her masters. She followed along behind us, shouting, "These men are servants of God. They have come to tell you how to have your sins forgiven." This went on day after day. This upset Paul, so he spoke to the demon within her. "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her," he said. And right away, the demon left her. Her master's hopes of getting rich by using this girl were now lost. So they grabbed Paul and Silas, and they took them before the judges at the marketplace. "These Jews are causing trouble in our city," they shouted. "They are teaching the people to do things that are against the Roman laws." A crowd was quickly formed against Paul and Silas, so the judges ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden whips. Again and again the rods slashed down across their bare backs, and after that they were thrown into prison. The jailer was told he would be killed if they got away, so he took no chances, but put them into the inner dungeon, and there he clamped their feet into the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to the Lord, and all the other prisoners were listening to them. But suddenly there was a great earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open, and the chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He thought all the prisoners had gotten away, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul yelled to him, "Don't do it! We are all here." Shaking with fear, the jailer called for lights. Then he ran to the dungeon and fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe on the Lord Jesus, then you will be saved, and your whole family." Then they told him and all his household the good news from the Lord. That same hour he washed their beaten backs, and he and all his family were baptized. Then he brought them up into his house and set a meal before them. He and his family were full of joy because all of them believed. The next morning the judges sent police officers over to the jailer. They said, "Let those men go." So the jailer told Paul they were free to leave. But Paul replied, "Oh, no, they don't. They have publicly beaten us without trial and jailed us, and we are Roman citizens. So now they want us to leave secretly? Never. Let them come themselves and let us go." The police officers told this to the judges. They feared for their lives when they heard Paul and Silas were Roman citizens. So they came to the jail and begged them to go. They brought them out and pled with them to leave the city. Paul and Silas then went back to the home of Lydia. They met with the believers there, and they preached to them once more before leaving town. That concludes Acts chapter 16, verse 9 to 40. Now we'll begin reading Philippians. This is a letter that Paul was writing as a prisoner in Rome to the church at Philippi. Philippians 1, verse 1. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, to the pastors and deacons and all the Christians in the city of Philippi. May God bless you all. I pray that God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ will give you peace. Paul's prayer, keep growing in spiritual things. Verse 3. All my prayers for you are full of praise to God. When I pray for you, my heart is full of joy. Why? Because of all your wonderful help in making known the good news about Christ. You have done this from the time you first heard the good news until now. God began the good work within you. I am sure he will finish it until Jesus Christ comes back. How natural it is that I should feel as I do about you. You have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God. You shared with me when I was in prison, and when I was out, we defined the truth together. Only God knows how I long for you with the tenderness of Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others. I pray that you grow in spiritual knowledge and insight. I want you to see the difference between right and wrong. And I pray that you will be inwardly clean. No one should be able to blame you from now until our Lord comes back. May you always do those good, kind things that show you are a child of God. This will bring much praise and glory to the Lord. The good news is being preached. Verse 12. And I want you to know something, brothers. Everything that has happened to me here has helped the good news concerning Christ. Everyone here knows that I am in chains because I am a Christian. This includes all the soldiers at the barracks. Because I am in prison, many here seem to have lost their fear of chains. Somehow my patience has cheered them up. They have become more and more bold in telling others about Christ. Some, of course, are preaching the good news because they're jealous of me. They want to be known as fearless preachers, but others are more pure. They preach because they love me. They know the Lord has brought me here to defend the truth. Some preach to make me jealous. They think that their success will add to my sadness here in jail. I don't care why they do it. The fact is, the good news about Christ is being preached, and I am glad. I'm going to keep on being glad. I know that you pray for me, and the Spirit helps me. So this is all going to turn out for my good. I eagerly expect and hope that I will never be ashamed of what I do. I expect that I will always be ready to speak boldly for Christ. Even now, just as in the past, I hope that I will be an honor to Christ. This is true whether I live or die. For to me, living is Christ, and dying, well, that's better yet. But if I live, I can win people to Christ, so I don't know which is better, should I live or die. Sometimes I want to live, and at other times I don't, for I long to go and be with Christ. How much happier for me than being here. But I can be of more help to you by staying. Yes, I'm still needed here, so I feel certain I will be staying on earth a little longer. That way I can help you grow and become happy in your faith. My staying will make you glad. It will give you reason to glorify God when I come back to visit you. But whatever happens to me, remember always to live as Christians should. That way, even if I never see you again, I will hear good reports about you. I will be told that you are standing side by side. I will hear that you share the one strong purpose of telling the good news. Do it without fear, no matter what your enemies may do. They will see this as a sign of their downfall. But for you, it is a sign from God that He is with you. It means that He has given you eternal life with Him. For you have been given not only trust in Him, but also suffering for Him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for Him in the past. I am still in the midst of a great and terrible struggle now, as you know so well. That concludes the reading of Philippians 1 from the Simplified Living Bible. Scripture quoted from the Simplified Living Bible, copyright 1990, used by permission of Tyndale House Publishers, Incorporated, all rights reserved. Philippians 1, the Message, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, both of us, committed servants of Christ Jesus, write this letter to all the followers of Jesus in Philippi, pastors and ministers included. We greet you with the grace and peace that comes from God our Father and our Master, Jesus Christ. A love that will grow. Verse 3. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart. I am so pleased that you have continued on in this with us, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up to the present. There has never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. It's not at all fanciful for me to think this way about you. My prayers and hopes have deep roots in reality. You have, after all, stuck with me all the way from the time I was thrown in jail, put on trial, and came out of it in one piece. All along you have experienced with me the most generous help from God. He knows how much I love and miss you these days. Sometimes I think I feel as strongly about you as Christ does. So this is my prayer, that your love will flourish, and that you will not only love much, but well. Learn to love appropriately. You need to use your head and test your feelings so that your love is sincere and intelligent, not sentimental gush. Live a lover's life, circumspect and exemplary, a life Jesus will be proud of, bountiful in fruits from the soul, making Jesus Christ attractive to all getting everyone involved in the glory and praise of God. They can't imprison the message. Verse 12. I want to report to you, friends, that my imprisonment here has had the opposite of its intended effect. Instead of being squelched, the message has actually prospered. All the soldiers here, and everyone else too, found out that I'm in jail because of this Messiah. That piqued their curiosity, and now they've learned all about him. Not only that, but most of the followers of Jesus here have become far more sure of themselves in the faith than ever, speaking out fearlessly about God, about the Messiah. It's true that some here preach Christ because with me out of the way, they think they'll step right into the spotlight. But the others do it with the best heart in the world. One group's motivated by pure love, knowing that I'm here defending the message, wanting to help. The others, now that I'm out of the picture, are merely greedy, hoping to get something out of it for themselves. Their motives are bad. They see me as their competition, and so the worse it goes for me, the better, they think, for them. So how am I to respond? I've decided that I really don't care about their motives, whether mixed, bad, or indifferent. Every time one of them opens his mouth, Christ is proclaimed. So I just cheer them on. And I'm going to keep that celebration going because I know how it's going to turn out. Through your faithful prayers and the generous response of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, everything he wants to do in and through me will be done. I can hardly wait to continue on my course. I don't expect to be embarrassed in the least. On the contrary, everything happening to me in this jail only serves to make Christ more accurately known, regardless of whether I live or die. They didn't shut me up. They gave me a platform. Alive, I'm Christ's messenger. Dead, I'm his prize. Life versus even more life. I can't lose. As long as I'm alive in this body, there is good work for me to do. If I had to choose right now, I hardly know which I'd choose. Hard choice. The desire to break camp here and be with Christ is powerful. Some days I can think of nothing better. But most days, because of what you are going through, I'm sure that it's better for me to stick it out here. So I plan to be around a while, companion to you as your growth and joy in this life of trusting God continues. You can start looking forward to a great reunion when I come visit you again. We'll be praising Christ, enjoying each other. Meanwhile, live in such a way that you are a credit to the message of Christ. Let nothing in your conduct hang on whether I come or not. Your conduct must be the same whether I show up to see things for myself or hear of it from a distance. Stand united, singular in vision, contending for people's trust in the message, the good news, not flinching or dodging in the slightest before the opposition. Your courage and unity will show them what they're up against. Defeat for them, victory for you, and both because of God. There's far more to this life than trusting in Christ. There's also suffering for him, and the suffering is as much a gift as the trusting. You're involved in the same kind of struggle you saw me go through, on which you are now getting an updated report in this letter. That concludes Philippians 1 in the Message, scripture taken from the Message, copyright 2002, used by permission of NAF Press Publishing Group, all rights reserved. The Amplified Bible, the letter of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus the Messiah, to all the saints, God's consecrated people in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi, with the bishops, overseers, and deacons, assistants. Grace, favor, and blessing to you, and heart peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. In every prayer of mine, I always make my entreaty and petition for you all with joy, delight. I thank my God for your fellowship, your sympathetic cooperation and contributions and partnership in advancing the good news, the gospel, from the first day you heard it until now. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to full completion in you. It is right and appropriate for me to have this confidence and feel this way about you all, because you have me in your heart, and I hold you in my heart as partakers and sharers, one and all with me, of grace, God's unmerited favor and spiritual blessing. This is true both when I'm shut up in prison and when I'm out in defense and confirmation of the good news, the gospel. For God is my witness how I long for and pursue you with love in the tender mercy of Christ Jesus himself. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more, and extend to its fullest development in knowledge and all keen insight, that your love may display itself in greater depth of acquaintance and more comprehensive discernment, so that you may surely learn to sense what is vital, and approve and prize what is excellent and of real value, recognizing the highest and the best, and distinguishing the moral differences, and that you may be untainted and pure and unerring and blameless, so that with hearts sincere and certain and unsullied, you may approach the day of Christ, not stumbling nor causing others to stumble. May you abound in and be filled with the fruits of righteousness, of right standing with God and right doing, which come through Jesus Christ, the Anointed One, to the honor and praise of God, that his glory may be both manifested and recognized. Now I want you to know and continue to rest assured, brethren, that what has happened to me, this imprisonment, has actually only served to advance and give a renewed impetus to the spreading of the good news, the gospel. So much is this a fact that throughout the whole Imperial Guard and to all the rest here, my imprisonment has become generally known to be in Christ, that I am a prisoner in his service and for him. And also most of the brethren have derived fresh confidence in the Lord because of my chains, and are much more bold to speak and publish fearlessly the word of God, acting with more freedom and indifference to the consequences. Some, it is true, actually preach Christ, the Messiah, for no better reason than out of envy and rivalry, party spirit, but others are doing so out of a loyal spirit and goodwill. The latter proclaim Christ out of love, because they recognize and know that I am providentially put here for the defense of the good news, the gospel. But the former preach Christ out of a party spirit, insincerely, out of no pure motive, but thinking to annoy me, supposing they're making my bondage more bitter and my chains more galling. But what does it matter? So long as either way, whether in pretense, for personal ends, or in all honesty, for the furtherance of the truth, Christ is being proclaimed. And in that I now rejoice. Yes, and I shall rejoice hereafter also. For I am well assured, and indeed know, that through your prayers and a bountiful supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, this will turn out for my preservation, for the spiritual health and welfare of my own soul, and avail toward the saving work of the gospel. This is in keeping with my own eager desire and persistent expectation and hope, that I shall not disgrace myself nor be put to shame in anything, but that with the utmost freedom of speech and unfailing courage, now as always heretofore, Christ the Messiah will be magnified and get glory and praise in this body of mine, and be boldly exalted in my person, whether through by life or through by death. For me to live is Christ, his life in me, and to die is gain, the gain of the glory of eternity. If, however, it is to be life in the flesh, and I am to live on here, that means fruitful service for me. So I can say nothing as to my personal preference. I cannot choose. But I am hard-pressed between the two. My yearning desire is to depart, to be free of this world, to set forth and be with Christ, for that is far, far better. But to remain in my body is more needful and essential for your sake. Since I'm convinced of this, I know that I shall remain and stay by you all to promote your progress and joy in believing, so that in me you may have abundant cause for exultation and glorying in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Only be sure, as citizens, so to conduct yourselves that your manner of life will be worthy of the good news, the gospel of Christ, so that whether I do come and see you or am absent, I may hear this of you, that you're standing firm in united spirit and purpose, striving side by side and contending with a single mind for the faith of the glad tidings, the gospel. And do not for a moment be frightened or intimidated in anything by your opponents and adversaries, for such consistency and fearlessness will be a clear sign, proof and seal to them of their impending destruction, but a sure token and evidence of your deliverance and salvation, and that from God. For you have been granted the privilege, for Christ's sake, not only to believe in, adhere to, rely on, and trust in him, but also to suffer in his behalf. So you're engaged in the same conflict which you saw me wage, and which you now hear to be mine still. That concludes the reading of Philippians 1 from the Amplified Bible. Scripture quoted from the Amplified Bible, New Testament, copyright 1987 by the Lachman Foundation. Used by permission, all rights reserved. Philippians 1, the New American Standard Bible, verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work among you will complete it by the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you all, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may overflow still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may discover the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and blameless for the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and praise of God. The gospel is preached. Verse 12. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brothers and sisters, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking that they are causing me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice. But not only that, I also will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my eager expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. To live is Christ, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. But I am hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sakes. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your pride in Christ Jesus may be abundant because of me by my coming to you again. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I will hear about you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in no way alarmed by your opponents, which is a sign of destruction for them, but of salvation for you, and this too from God. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer on his behalf, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me, and now hear to be in me. That concludes the reading of Philippians 1 in the New American Standard Bible. Scripture quoted from the New American Standard Bible, copyright 2020 by the Lachman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved. In summary, Apostle Paul and Timothy are encouraging us to choose joy. Choose joy in spite of suffering and hardship and dire circumstances. Choose joy because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Choose joy. That's a great idea, but it's hard to do. When the paycheck does not stretch far enough to meet the bills, when your child's sick, or you live or work in a hostile environment, it is hard to choose joy. Apostle Paul understood. He was not preaching to us from a life of leisure, ease, and prosperity. He was writing from a Roman prison cell. He was acquainted with suffering and would have been justified in grumbling, griping, and complaining about all the years he wasted behind bars. Yet he had a different perspective. He looked at life through an eternal lens. He was completely convinced that Christ would be exalted and that what was happening to him would serve to advance the gospel. He kept the faith and was encouraged to see that the guards were being introduced to Jesus, and those who knew Christ were speaking up more courageously and fearlessly. What he saw was only the tip of the iceberg. God had so much more planned than Paul could even imagine. Paul had no idea that we would be reading his letters thousands of years later, and that his written words were inspired by God and would be included in the Holy Bible to encourage millions and millions of Christ followers. And God has great plans for us, too. I say that because of Philippians 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Hallelujah! Remember, we cannot know all that God has in store for us, but as we follow him, we can be thoroughly convinced that he will be glorified in us and through us. In closing, let's pray with Apostle Paul from Philippians 1, verses 9 to 11 in the New Living Translation. I pray that your love will overflow more and more, and that you will keep on growing in knowledge and understanding, for I want you to understand what really matters so that you may live pure and blameless lives until the day of Christ's return. May you always be filled with the fruit of your salvation, the righteous character produced in your life by Jesus Christ, for this will bring much glory and praise to God. In the name of Jesus, amen. I love you. Have a blessed day, and remember, choose joy.